This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to Terry's 2001 interview with Hal Blaine. He's the drummer for The Wrecking Crew, the session musicians of the 60s and 70s profiled in the new documentary, also called The Wrecking Crew.
You were the drummer on a lot of the Beach Boys records.
Just about all.
But I think it was Dennis who was actually the drummer with the band. I imagine at the time nobody knew that he wasn't the drummer on the records.
A lot of people did not know in the early days that Dennis did not play on those things. Sometimes Dennis would come in and overdub a tambourine or something.
So did Dennis feel bad that instead of
him, it was
you on the records?
I tell you, I've told the story before. Dennis loved the fact that while I was in the studio in the afternoon making $35, $40 for the afternoon, Dennis that night was making $35,000 or $40,000 on stage. I mean, they were making a lot of money. And he was thrilled that he could just be on his boat. He didn't have to be in the studio. He didn't have to rehearse.
Well, let me rephrase the question. Did you feel resentful then that he was making all this money on stage and you were making next to nothing in the studio?
Not at all, because I knew what it was leading to, because my phone started ringing off the hook from Phil Spector dates and Beach Boys dates.
Right.
All of a sudden, I was getting calls for Elvis Presley and Johnny Rivers and Fifth Dimension came along and Mamas and the Papas. I mean, everybody came out of the woodwork.
Is there a Beach Boys track that you particularly like your drumming on that we can play?
Well, you know, there are certain songs that make you cry. Songs like God Only Knows, one of the beautiful songs. Good Vibrations, of course, was another sort of a trilogy of Brian put that song together. Sometimes we would do, 5 minutes on a session, and he'd say thank you, and sometimes we would work for days putting that song together. He just used to use little bits and pieces of this, that, and the other. I remember that on one of the sessions, and I think it was part of the Good Vibrations, Brian wanted something different, a different sound with drums or percussion. We used to drink a lot of orange juice, and they came in little small bottles out of a vending machine. And I took three of those bottles, taped them together, cut the tops off to various sizes, almost like the tubes on a vibraphone. And there were three different sounds, and I used a mallet that would be used on a vibraphone, and I got this knocking sound. Three different knocking sounds. And I used it on that section where we were playing ba-da-dat, boo-doo-doo, ba-da-dat. Well, I was playing ba-da-da, ba-da-da, different tones.
Why don't we hear that part of Good Vibrations? This is Hal Blaine.
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle word on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
With Hal Blaine on drums and percussion. Now, Hal Blaine, we've been talking about your rock and roll sessions. You also worked with Sinatra. Did you have to get a different kind of beat when you were working with Sinatra? As a jazz singer, Sinatra was more behind the beat. Rock and roll tends to be very on the beat.
One of our secrets to rock and roll was learning to lay back. And we used to, in other words, if you were looking at a scale on a ruler, every time your backbeat came on, one, two, three, four, every time we'd hit two and four, it would be just a hair behind that actual two and four. that was how I got the great feeling going all the time with Joe Osborne, the great bass player, and Larry Nechtel. You know, we were known as the three killers who used to come in and make these, like, Bridge Over Troubled Water records like that that were just so incredible. All Grammy winners. You mentioned Be My Baby. Boom, 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 bang, boom, 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 bang. When I did the record Strangers in the Night with Frank, which was Record of the Year, and his only gold single, believe it or not, that went right to number one, I was playing the same beat, quietly. Strangers in the Night, boom, ba-ba-ba-ba, boom, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, boom.
Strangers in the night, exchanging glances, wandering in the night, what were the chances we'd be sharing love before the night was through? Something in your eyes.
What was the rehearsal like with Sinatra? And what was the recording session like?
Well, generally, when you got a Sinatra call, it was a six-hour call. Now, the standard is a three-hour session. With Frank Sinatra, we would have a six-hour double session call. 3 hours, an hour break, and then 3 hours of recording. We would go in for the first 3 hours and rehearse whatever the song or songs were to make sure that we absolutely had it down pat. The engineers would go through all the lines to make sure that there were no glitches, no squeaks, no white noise, no red noise. They would go through all the chairs that the strings especially were sitting on, make sure that there were no squeaks, make sure that everyone had the lights on their music stands, no music stand rattles. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Because when Frank Sinatra walked in to record, he walked in, he walked around with two, three of us, four of us, said, "Hi, how you doing? Let's make a record." And bang, he was in the vocal booth and we were making a record. No fooling around, no mistakes, no nothing. Rarely did he ask to do a second take. Frank always knew what he was doing. He had rehearsed himself. He knew the songs. And Frank was the kind of guy that once he walked out of the vocal booth, he'd say, "Thank you all." He was gone with his entourage. That was it.
You've been on about 8,000 different songs that have been recorded. Do you actually remember what you were on, or do you have to consult a list to figure out if you were on something?
Well, it depends. Obviously, I had all those records of the year, the Grammy winner of the year, and I don't have to think about those records. I know those records backwards. When it comes to certain songs, it was just a blur of so many songs and so many sessions. I don't know. It's very difficult to explain, Terry. I just played what I felt, and they let me play. You know, once you kind of make a name for yourself, then when producers would come in, they would say, "Oh, Hal, just do your thing. You know, don't worry about it. Just whatever you feel." They felt that I would always do the right thing.
Drummer Hal Blaine speaking to Terry Gross in 2001. He's featured in the new documentary The Wrecking Crew, which opens today in theaters in New York and L.A., and additional cities in coming weeks.